Pharmacy Podcast Nation, pharmacy owners out there always thinking about you. Spring 2020 is here. There's much to do. We have the PBM Reform Series still going. Please listen to that, forward that to other pharmacy owners. But today, let's talk about business development through clinical services, which is really the sweet spot of any independently owned community pharmacy. Colorectal and breast cancer patients. Taking vitamin D, hydroxyvitamin D, is a big deal. Today is part one of a series dedicated to our network, sponsored to the network, information provider through the RxSafe team, really talking about adherence packaging, but more importantly, what are you packaging and how are you educating your patients to understand the importance of the adherence? Today is going to be a really good podcast. Please share these podcasts. Please reach out to me, publisher at pharmacypodcast.com, for your input, how you're caring for your patients, how you're leveraging vitamin therapies to coincide with medications that they're taking. You know best. You see it every day. Participate with us. Reach out to us. We can't wait to hear from you. And thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation.
The business of pharmacy would do better to understand that success is about delivering better health to our patients. For this reason, all pharmacy organizations should develop a persistent spirit of servant leadership and leverage intelligent technology to maximize better outcomes. This is the RxSafe podcast series, brought to you by the Pharmacy Podcast Network. RxSafe has unwavering core values, which guide everything they do every day. They believe in the importance of people above all other aspects of business and aspire to ensure their customers are 100% satisfied. This podcast series is about challenging conventional wisdom, upending the status quo, and developing technology that will define the future of the pharmacy industry. This is the RxSafe podcast series. Learn more at rxsafe.com/podcasts.
Vitamin D, despite the name, is actually a pro-hormone and has many important roles in the body. From maintaining the health of our bones and teeth, to supporting the health of our immune system, brain and nervous system, regulating insulin levels, supporting lung function and cardiovascular health, and influencing the expression of genes involved in cancer development. This astonishing study found that women with blood concentrations of vitamin D higher than 40 nanograms per milliliter had a 67% lower risk of cancer compared with women with levels lower than 20. The researchers concluded that optimal levels for cancer prevention are between 40 and 60 nanograms per milliliter, which is 100 to 150 nanomoles per liter, and that most cancers occur in people with vitamin D blood levels between 10 and 40. When the esteemed cancer and health researcher Chris Walk was asked which supplement was the most important anti-cancer supplement, listen to what his answer was.
The most important anti-cancer supplement by far is vitamin D. Without a doubt, no question, vitamin D. If you want to get your blood levels between 40 and 60 nanograms per milliliter, there's a website called D-Action, Grassroots Health D-Action. You can order a vitamin D test for about $50 and see what your blood levels are at. Because if you're under 30, you're in the risk zone for disease. If you're under 20, you're in the really high risk zone. Okay, so supplementing with vitamin D is pretty essential because most of us don't get enough sunshine. And it's really hard to get enough sunshine daily to produce optimal levels of vitamin D in your body.
So does Dr. Michael Greger's research support this claim? And if so, how much should we be taking?
Higher vitamin D levels are associated with improved survival in colorectal cancer and in breast cancer. In fact, about double the risk of breast cancer recurrence and death in women with the lowest vitamin D levels. And vitamin D levels also associated with longer survival with ovarian cancer and other cancers like lymphoma. But bottom line, you have to put it to the test. We now have a few randomized controlled trials, and vitamin D supplements do indeed appear to reduce the risk of dying from cancer. what dose. The researchers suggest maybe getting blood levels up to at least around 75 nanomoles per liter, levels not reached by as many as 3/4 of women with breast cancer, or a striking 97% of colon cancer patients. Getting up to these kind of levels, 75 or perhaps even better, 100, might require about 2,000 to 4,000 international units of vitamin D a day, levels of intake for which there appear to be no credible evidence of harm. The findings of these kind of studies may have a profound influence on future cancer treatment.
Recently, I learned that some people cannot efficiently absorb vitamin D from supplements. And this is concerning because of the potential connection between vitamin D and cancers, and the fact that most of us are not getting enough direct sunlight, especially if we live in northern climates. But is there a simple, quick, and effective way to help enhance our vitamin D absorption from supplements? Well, let's hear as Dr. Greger tells us more. All the original links are in the description below.
What do you do if you're one of the 42% of Americans with vitamin D deficiency, are put on a vitamin D supplement regimen, and your levels still don't budge? That kept happening to this group of docs at the Cleveland Clinic. In our practice, they wrote, it is common to see patients treated with vitamin D supplements who do not achieve an appreciable rise in their vitamin D level after therapy despite, you know, large prescribed doses. So they did a few experiments and concluded that taking vitamin D with the largest meal improves absorption and results in higher blood levels of vitamin D. Just that one simple change in timing results in about a 50% increase in blood levels of vitamin D achieved. They conclude, it therefore seems reasonable to ask patients to take vitamin D supplements with their largest meal, because it may be a cost-effective strategy that could very well help patients to achieve optimal serum levels of vitamin D.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, welcome back to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Really appreciate you listening. It's amazing how far we've come in 11 years. It'll be 11 years in March this year, starting this publication about the business and profession of pharmacy, dedicated to you, the pharmacist out there. Today is an exciting time to kick off a new series, which is going to be around adherence packaging, but specifically around other supplements and vitamins and how that's going to impact your patient's health as well as your pharmacy business. This series is brought to you by RX Safe, who is a partner of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, bringing us a lot of incredible content. And we are kicking this show off with Mr. Joe Williams. Dr. Joe Williams is a PharmD. He has his MBA, and he bought Brisson Drugs in 2015. And I want to welcome you, Joe, to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Todd. It's my pleasure to be here.
So Brisson Drugs is in North Carolina. What part of North Carolina, Joe?
We're in southeastern North Carolina, a little town called St. Paul's, North Carolina.
What is it about that area of North Carolina that you like? Is that actually where you grew up and that was your home?
Yeah, this is home for me. I was born in the area. I've always lived here. When I went away to pharmacy school, I only went about an hour and 15 minutes away from home to Campbell University. And while I was in school, my grandfather, he passed away, and he had left his house to me. So I got sucked right back in to the same neighborhood I grew up in. It just seems like this area won't let me go. So, I'm from here. As we would say, these are my people. You know, these are folks that I understand. I love them. I don't think I could be as successful anywhere else in the country as I am right here where I grew up.
That is awesome. I read something on you, the Business North Carolina publication that you were part of Trailblazers 2018 and what you're doing for your community and for your business. And you and I talked a little bit offline before the interview about giving back to your community. And that just seems to be a part of your whole gig.
Right. I honestly do believe that whenever we give, we get, and it's been true since as far back as I can remember, particularly with business, you know, for me here in St. Paul's and at my other locations. when we support our local area, our local community, it just seems to come back to us in 5 and 7, 10-fold. And so I see no reason to change how we do things.
So that kind of brings us up to our topic today. And it's interesting, the research that I do before having these conversations, calcium and vitamin D are the cornerstone in the treatment to prevent osteoporosis, can't even say the word, and recommended by several guidelines and research. And the efficacy of the combination and regimen is limited due to poor adherence. It's the adherence. It really isn't the vitamin itself. And what I think of when we talk about adherence and vitamins specifically is probably adding it into the 8 o'clock pass or the 12 o'clock pass or the 4 o'clock pass or whatever it is. But tell me your story of where you were in developing ways of serving your patients better and now where you are today.
So initially, we started compliance packaging back in 2015 with the creation of our program. It's called MedSmart. Essentially, MedSmart came about because of one particular patient. On one day, he walked into the pharmacy. Actually, his girlfriend walked into the pharmacy with a stack of paper about a half inch thick, and it was the discharge summary from the hospital. And it didn't surprise me as much as it should have, because 2 weeks before, I was working with the precursor to CPSN, and we were using, it was a model that was first in North Carolina called CCNC, where we could see fill history from other pharmacies. And this patient just happened to be the first patient that we looked at, and I'd seen where a prescription for Plavix, which is an antiplatelet, had been filled for this patient at another outpatient pharmacy. Okay, it was an extension of a hospital system. And we could even see the number of refills, and that doctor at discharge had given that patient 11 refills on that Plavix. Well, I knew, and that had occurred 4 months earlier when we saw it. And I knew that I'd never filled Plavix, and this patient, he would just come into the pharmacy and say, "Hey Joe, I need my medicine." That was, you know, we all have patients like that. And we weren't really heavy in sync at the time, but we had patients that were on sync. We just didn't know what sync was. And so I would fill his medicine every month. And but when we had done, when we were looking at that CCNC portal, we saw the Plavix, and we reached out to the primary care doctor to ask what the story was. You know, why was that Plavix written? There was refills on it. We've never seen another script. We know we haven't filled it. Is he getting it from that other pharmacy? That sort of thing. And like I said, that was just 2 weeks before. The provider had not even responded to the fax. And he had had TIAs, is what we came to understand, mini strokes then. And when she walked into the pharmacy, I knew what had happened, and he had, in fact, had a major stroke. And he had suffered some brain injury as a result of the stroke, and he could not communicate. He could grunt more or less, but he couldn't effectively communicate. So we filled the prescriptions from the discharge. She leaves the pharmacy, and she comes back in the next day with him, and he's with her. And he's very upset. He's visually angry. And she says, "He won't let me give him the medicine. He is still demanding to be the independent man that he's always been." And I knew this guy, you know, I'd known him for a long time. And I said, "Okay, well, let me see what I can figure out." And I went over to, we have a fairly big front end, and we have a school section, I guess you'd call it, a stationery department. And I grabbed a few different colored sheets of construction paper, fluorescent type construction paper, wrapped it around his bottles. You know, the things that he was going to take in the morning were this color. The things he was going to take twice daily were this color. And, you know, the middle of the day, I think I broke his regimen down to 3 times a day to try to simplify it. And then I went over and grabbed some Google images of the morning sun, the rooster crowing, you know, all of these various pictures that would signify a specific time of the day. And I made a chart. And I gave him the bottles, and I gave him the chart, and I bet you I spent a half hour trying to explain to him that because that color was beside the rooster, that meant you took it at that time of day. And, you know, again, all he could do was really grunt and nod, but he essentially said, you know, or agreed with me with through nods and these grunts and whatnot. Well, I told myself I've got 30 days to find a better solution because I can't keep doing this. It's not going to work for him. So we found a multi-dose blister that that we could get into for a reasonable sum of money, and then it worked. And then we started scaling from there. Initially, vitamins and supplements and things were not part of our MO. It was really about, to be honest, it was about helping that one man. I needed a solution for that one guy to help him be successful with his medications. And what happened from there is we started, we've always been the medication experts, but we suddenly found ourselves paying much, much closer attention to adherence around the same time, because I'd only owned the pharmacy for a few months, and I knew that more compliant patients, it was better for them, it was better for the pharmacy, so it just seemed like a win-win. So we kept growing that MedSmart program, kept growing that compliance packaging program, and we would go out to the home to enroll a patient. And this is when we first started really seeing that there was a need for the discussion with the supplements, because you would go into a home and a patient might be on 4 to 5 meds, but they would have 3, 4, 5, 6 different supplements spread out across the kitchen table, because we would tell them, we're coming over to see you. We want everything out. And we would see all of those supplements. And some of them were contraindicated with the medications that they were taking. You know, it was a direct drug-drug interaction. And so, you know, you'd ask them, why are you on this? Well, I saw it at, you know, Mass Merchandiser XYZ, or I saw it at, you know, the Family Dollar when I was picking up something over there, you know, some drain cleaner. I saw that when I up the front by the counter. So I grabbed it because it said it would give me energy. And it really opened our eyes to the fact that, you know, we know about the prescription meds that they're taking, but we really need to find out more about these supplements and things that we're doing. So we need to make sure that, you know, if they are on a supplement, number one, you know, is there going to be a drug interaction with the meds that they're taking? And then number two, are they taking the right supplements? Are they taking things that make sense for them? And that's really how it all got started. And so when we would go out and do the enrollments, we would find out what they were taking. A lot of times we would tell them, you need to throw that away. You know, and you would be shocked at the number of times that the patient presents us with a supplement that they're taking that is this 500 or 2,000 count bottle, for that matter, that expired 3 years ago, right? You know, that they're still taking every day. So we wanted to be kind of steering that ship. And so what we started doing was we started going into our own front end and looking at the supplements that we carried and making sure that we had the necessary things based on the particular drug regimens or disease states that we were dealing with. And you mentioned calcium and vitamin D, and of course that's always going to be one of our staples that we're going to be, you know, using. And we started looking at the particular individual patients that we were, you know, dealing with. If they were females above a certain age, you called it already, you know, were they taking that calcium and vitamin D? And if they weren't, what we would tell our patients was don't go buy that 1,000-count bottle, you know, let us buy the 1,000-count bottles, and then let us provide those savings to you so that you don't have to do that up front. So most of our patients, instead of being burdened with the cost of purchasing these massive bottles, we allow them to spread out those costs over time. So now they only pay for, say, a month at a time, and it's included in their compliance packaging along with their, you know, their blood pressures and their cholesterol meds.
What I think of when I hear about supplement or vitamin adherence is the very first thing that comes to mind is remembering my wife when she was pregnant and how important her neonatal vitamin B12 and iron and the medications that she was actually on at the time. She actually got off that about 3 months in, second trimester, but she was still on that vitamin. And it was hard for her to remember as a working professional. She's a nurse at a maximum security prison state prison in southwestern Pennsylvania, and she'd work, you know, 12, sometimes 14-hour shifts. And it was hard to remember to take that. And if there was some adherence packaging in place where it could accompany if she was on another medication, or someone like my dad who's extremely active, but I see what he does with his medications every day, and I tell him about strip packaging and asking his pharmacist for that. And I think this is a big help to keep patients that need to be on these supplements versus the other side, which is patients that could start a supplement and or a vitamin regimen that could help them as well. So I think there's two sides, but I see benefit on both sides.
There's definitely two sides. Well, there's you know, additional as well. But, you know, one of the big things with compliance packaging, they're not just forgetting to take their blood pressure. You know, to your point, they're forgetting to take everything. So if we can include those vitamins at the pertinent time of day, so the pertinent MedPass time, because, you know, sometimes those supplements need to be separated from a particular drug in their daily regimen, and they don't know that, you know, so that, again, being a medication experts, you know, as pharmacists, that's another one of the roles that we play in that supplementation, is making sure that the timing coincides with the other meds appropriately. And then, again, we know that a lot of the medications that we are dispensing in the pharmacy can actually result in deficiency of natural vitamins within the body. And there is a trade-off there. So, you know, you ask the patient about their statin and how it's making them feel, and, you know, they'll complain about, you know, the fact that they just don't feel like they used to feel. And, you know, you can recommend the CoQ10 to them, and they'll tell you 28 days later or 30 days later, just, you know, the package size, or how, whenever you're following up with them after that's been started, they'll tell you that they can see the benefit. And it only takes one time when you make that supplement recommendation to that patient, and they can feel the difference. They're sold. They're behind you. They don't see you as a salesman. They don't see you as someone that's just trying to you know, build up the price of the basket or the ticket. They see you as someone who truly does understand what they're dealing with and what they're facing, and is helping them. So yeah, no, we definitely see it firsthand every day.
So let's talk about the business side of this, because there's no reason that a independently owned community pharmacy or a privately owned institutional pharmacy doesn't have the encouragement to a patient to begin a supplement or vitamin regimen as part of their daily routine, and making it easier for them in this packaging system that you actually are implementing and have implemented with brought to you by RxSafe. But tell me about the business side. What has this done for your business?
Well, I do know when we run our total volume, you know, for whatever period of time we're going to run it for, 15% on average of our volume are supplements or over-the-counter medications that are being ran through the machine. It is a significant portion of our fill volume. In our front end, we do quite a bit of vitamins and supplements up front. Our MedSmart program exists as like a store within a store. So it's basically like a semi-closed door pharmacy in the back, and then we have a front end that handles our traditional walk-in patient and the bulk of our sink. But, you know, if we get a prescription for a supplement for our front end, and they're a patient who is not someone that might require packaging, then a lot of times the pharmacist will walk out and they'll personally place that retail item in that patient's hand. You know, they'll go out and they'll explain the supplement to them, and they'll sell it to them there. In the case of our compliance packaging patients, when we make that initial recommendation and it goes into that package, essentially it'll continue. So it's not the, hey, Mr. Jones, here's a 30-count bottle of vitamin D, we think you should start taking this, and then he takes that first 30 days and that's the end of it, and you made, you know, X number of dollars in gross profit. In the case of the compliance packaging patients, once they start it, they see the benefit of it, unless they have any sort of adverse events to it, or unless there's a change in their health or status at all, those supplements tend to continue because we know that the data is there to support that they should be on it. So it's not a one-time sale. It's a residual form of revenue for that pharmacy for those patients. And what we do, you know, there are a lot of pharmacies we know that even have their own branded forms of vitamins that they do, and there are some awesome, awesome supplements out there. Now, in the case of our particular patient population, we are in Robeson County, North Carolina. Robeson County is the poorest county in the state of North Carolina. So when it comes, and most of our patients are LIS, which means they have extra help, or they're Medicaid, or they're dual eligible and they have both. So that is our patient population. Unfortunately, because of that, there's not a lot of branded type supplements that patient population can afford. So what we do is we find good, solid, quality vitamins that we can supplement for these patients. And then again, the pharmacy will buy the bulk bottles, and then we will pass the savings of that bulk down to those patients to try to reduce their out-of-pocket costs. Because, you know, at our pharmacy, we have rules for how we're going to care for folks. You know, number one, is it efficacious? Is it going to be the best thing for that patient? But, you know, one of our top three rules is, you know, is this affordable for this patient? Does this make sense for them? Because it can be the greatest supplement that was ever created in any lab in the world. But if they can't afford it, they're not going to take it. And it's really as simple as that. So, you know, we find that if we cater the vitamin to the patient that we're caring for and make sure that it's something that's efficacious for them, that they feel the benefits from it, they know that it's working, and you know, and again, that they can afford, then it's something that can go on long term.
What are your top five supplements or vitamins that you're leveraging within the RX Safe system?
So calcium and vitamin D, multivitamins, CoQ10, B12, and folic acid, I'd say. Okay. What we've started doing is we use Amplicare in our pharmacy. We use them for a lot of things. Primarily, we do a whole lot of work during open enrollment for Medicare plan selection. I think if you're an independent pharmacy now and you are not heavily involved in open enrollment, you are just waiting for the inevitable. You know, you need to help your patients, you know, understand which plans are going to be the best ones for them inside your pharmacy. And with that relationship, we found out about their supplement portal. And they actually have a method that right on the workstation that you're working on, you'll get a pop-up box telling you that patient XYZ is on this medication and these supplements are recommended for them. So, you know, whenever we have like a new pharmacist that comes along, you know, they might not be in the habit of recommending a lot of supplements to their patients. And this Amplicare module kind of brings them along and it reminds them of these features. And again, once that patient has ever tried one of those recommendations and sees that benefit, they're sold on it. So, I mean, and the RX Safe makes it so simple because, you know, all you have to do is basically add that drug in if it's a drug that's not already in their database. And now that database is so broad that most are in there. But let's say you had to add one, you know, you add it one time, it recognizes the tablet or the capsule or what have you. And then it's just part of your regular inspection. There's that vitamin D, you know, that right color, shape and size. That's the one. And, you know, that's at the right time of day for that patient. And we know they're going to take it.
So how do you approach a patient, one of your clients, one of your customers, to encourage them to add a supplement, vitamin supplement to their daily routine?
Well, a lot of times, if they're already on a medication that let's say is leading to some sort of nutrient deficiency, you can ask them, are they experiencing XYZ? You know, have you noticed that? Because here's the other thing, Todd. A lot of times with these patients that we're putting into our compliance packaging, a lot of these patients are brand new to us because of the SAFE and because of our MedSmart program. We're introduced to new people all the time, and you know, so when you first meet a patient and you initially start putting them into compliance packaging, a lot of them have not been compliant at all. That's why we're meeting them. Okay, they need our help, and so once they've been with us for a month or so, they're going to start to feel their meds, and they may be feeling meds that they've never felt before because they were so non-compliant in the past. And then this happens probably 1 in 3 patients that we start. You know, they're on multiple antihypertensives because every time they would go see their provider, their blood pressure would still be elevated, and the problem was compliance all along. So we find that a lot of times when we're on ramping or starting a new patient, that we're calling that physician and saying, hey, you know, I know you want them to be on all 4 of these antihypertensives that you've maxed the doses out on, but I think we should probably back some of this stuff off a little bit. Funny story, scary story, really. We had a situation like this soon after we got started in this business, and that exact same scenario. This gentleman was on, I can't remember how many antihypertensives, all at max doses. Actually, one was beyond a max dose. And we enrolled him, and I called the provider, and I said, this is not accurate. There is no way that this gentleman demands these meds. I mean, he has been way too non-compliant. I can look at the field history from the pharmacy that we transferred him from, you know, and the gentleman, the physician, he told me that he had been his patient for a long time and that he knew him better than I did, and that's what he required. And I said, I'm just telling you that I'm going to pack this the way that you've written it, the way that you have it documented here, and this is not going to be good for this gentleman. So I got a call from a pharmacy tech about 3 days later at the local hospital. He had been brought in by ambulance. He was in ICU. He had bottomed out. He was hypotensive, and he ended up staying in ICU for about a week. Because his heart rate was so low and his blood pressure was so low. And when he got out, I actually got a call from the physician. And you know that wasn't an easy call for him to make. But essentially it was, okay, next time you call, I'll listen. I see where you're coming from. And since then, we had a good working relationship with him. And when we tell him, I don't think this is a good idea, they honestly say, well, what do you think we should do? And then I say, well, let's just start like this, and then we'll go from there. Why don't you bring him back in for a follow-up if you want? Or, you know, now we would say, how about we have one of our community health workers check that blood pressure for you a couple times and make sure that he's on track. But you know, so long, sorry, I know I went around a little bit there, but, you know, in the case of most of our compliance packaging patients, when we would start them, they haven't been adherent, so they don't know how the meds are making them feel. So about 30 days in, you call them, you ask them, hey, are you experiencing this, or have you ever noticed this? And they'll start to point out, or they'll start to agree that they are experiencing some of the underlying side effects of some of their meds, and that allows you that opportunity to recommend those supplements to offset that. You know, I'm not a fan of treating side effects with other meds, but in the case of some medications, like for instance statins, you know, replacing that coenzyme Q10, we know that the benefit of the statin is worth the depletion of that CoQ10 if we can easily replace it with a supplement.
So what's nice for the patient perspective, I'm that patient perspective, I'm that consumer perspective. If my pharmacist came up to me or called me and said, hey, Todd, you've been on drug XYZ for 30 days now. Have you been feeling fatigued? Have you been feeling extra tired? And I'm like, as a matter of fact, I have. And then the pharmacist makes a recommendation. I'm going to purchase those supplements and vitamins based on you knowing through studies and research what the outcome of taking that specific medication was. So I think that a vitamin adherence program needs to also and be joined together with an education program that you can talk to patients that you know might be suffering some kind of side effect based on those medications.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, in the case of ours, when we get that new start in and they've been with us for 30 days or so, first we have that initial consultation with the patient and we find out so much about them then. But then, like I said, at that 30-day or that first refill of those meds 28 days later, how many ever days later, you have an audience that is coming to you with open ears because they, number one, they feel like they're taking their medications right for the first time. They're starting to see the benefits of them. Sometimes they're starting to see the side effects of them because, you know, doses have been increased because of noncompliance and things. But they're starting to buy in with you if they're a new patient to you at that point. They see that you are you're on their side, that you want to get them to that place that they want to be health-wise. So when you come to them with that recommendation and with that data, they're ready to listen. They want to do it because they've already seen how you've helped them with the compliance packaging. And, you know, in our case, when we start a patient, not only do we do, you know, the compliance packaging, we're also delivering it to them. We're going out to the home and we're really getting involved with their health care and trying to make sure that this is not going to be something that's short-lived.
Right.
You know, we don't want it just to be, here's your meds, you know, goodbye and good luck.
Right.
You now have to be more involved in those patients, especially those patients in our pharmacy that are in compliance packaging because, you know, a lot of times these are our most complex patients, you know, with, like I said, with multiple disease states. They just don't need something that's equivalent to mail order, just dropping meds in their home. They need somebody who is involved in their care, you know. So when you're, again, this goes right back into that supplementation, they realize that you want to treat all of them, that you want to look after them, and it just creates a tighter bond between the pharmacist and the patient when you're doing these.
Absolutely. Mr. Joe Williams, Brisson Drugs in St. Paul's, North Carolina, it has been a pleasure talking with you about vitamin adherence packaging and the RxSafe technology that's helping you to deliver those services to your patients, and we appreciate you being on the Pharmacy Podcast.
It's absolutely been my pleasure, Todd. I thank you so much for having me on.
You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast RxSafe series, new series about vitamin adherence packaging, and what that can do for your business and your patients. If you want more information, please check out RxSafe.com. Once again, that's RxSafe.com, and we thank RxSafe for sponsoring this podcast series, as well as Joe Williams coming on to talk with us. And we also appreciate you, the listener. Please share these podcasts and give us a rating over on Apple Podcasts as well. And we thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the RxSafe podcast series. Machine learning, intelligent technologies, and artificial intelligence is part of our global healthcare services future. Be sure to visit our website and schedule a time to talk with one of our pharmacy business consultants about the RxSafe technologies talked about on today's podcast episode. Visit us at RxSafe.com.